Good evening, Collins Port, Cemetery Lane, Schooner Bay, Mockingbird Heights, Morning Glory Circle, and our guests at Hill House. This is Darrell War, and I have had another cold, but I wanted to put something together anyway. Yeah, it's taken a lot longer, and a lot of you might understand why, because a lot of social media schemes basically took over our lives, and I have to feel especially bad for some of the children that it's badly raised, because for whatever reason, a lot of parents didn't want to go through the bother of keeping them from being raised on that kind of thing. I made my last post on the 24th of November with Facebook, and it was funny because I called a friend and she said, oh, it sounded angry, and I'm like, why? Announcing, I'm just hoping that this would be my last post, and if anybody really requires a social network site, you can use Google+, but otherwise, email works perfectly well, the telephone works perfectly well, Lisa sends me text messages once in a while, Melissa and I use all manner of things that have nothing to do with Facebook, and I feel a whole lot better. In fact, Hidden Objects, her last letter was very touching because she was saying how she deactivated her account and she feels so much more at peace and that it is an addiction no matter what anyone says. Just certain people manage it better than others, but it remains an addiction. She's feeling a lot better, and she was the one who was going through worse than me, losing more people and getting more down and more upset, and she became my trench buddy. So we've really grown a rapport through keeping away from that stuff. I no longer wish to be the enabler I've unknowingly been to a lot of you all who enjoy what I'm creating, be it the marriage novel, the audio drama, these podcasts, or all the above, and that has been what I realized I've been. And this has really been the hardest addiction I've ever fought with. I've never done crack cocaine, but it's making me feel like I'm getting off of a hard drug like that. And with Tumblr, what I notice, what I understand of the drug PCP, it's very much like that. People become belligerent, they lose their sensitivity to pain and empathy. That's how I'm looking at that. And Google Plus is there. There's not a lot of activity that I have seen, but it's harder to use. So you got a lot of the brain dead stuff going on, because people are just not trained to use this stuff. Google Plus is harder to use, and I believe that that has a purpose. But at the same time, all the other avenues are available. When I got my first mobile phone, social life became more active. And I'm talking old flip phone. But it was just the little supplemental things, and it helped. But this extra stuff, and people keep on building new ones, new social media, I don't know, maybe it's keeping people who would otherwise be nasty occupied. Maybe that's the purpose of the whole thing. But we've got plenty of neat little gadgets and tools and whatnot, and if we stick to those, and going back to correspondence skills, we should be doing a lot better. Just like you're listening to me now. Do I sound as crazy as I've been the last 4 years? Probably not. For the previous podcast, I do hope it helps some people, because I thought my upbringing was so horrendous. And on many levels, it was. But one thing I definitely had was friends and family to discuss fictional movies, shows, and occasionally books with, stories. We were able to digest what was going on in them and not be so confused. And I think that a lot of this stuff going on with a lot of these shows, that's what everybody wants. They just want companionship to watch these shows with somebody of like mind. And we don't have that because we're all on these inventions that make us cockeyed. And that was something that somebody put on the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows.wordpress.com, that blog. She said she wished she had somebody to watch Dark Shadows with, and I said, I think you've hit the nail right on the head. With me and Melissa, yeah, there were episodes that we've practically watched together. It's a little difficult because, you know, I was watching one with Carolyn and Buzz that just amused me. And then I told her which one it was, and then she watched it, and then I was listening to her watch it, you know, over voice call. And, oh my gosh.
It was so funny, and I think my husband came in too at some point, and it was like I watched the episode three times in a day. That's how funny it was. Just Carolyn and Buzz being Carolyn and Buzz. Also want to deeply thank a lot of pen pals. I know some of you, I hope you're listening to this, because I just want to, yeah, some of you, I reached out to some people, or they reached out to me, and then they Google me, and they run away screaming, they find some rants or whatever. Well, it's been hard 4 years, and you might be amped up with some of the stuff these social network sites do to all of us. They don't do nice things to us. And then you see the hell I've been through and how I express myself, because my environment was surrounded by a lot of these social media websites that were not good for me or anyone else. I had occasional joys once in a while, which made it feel like it was worth it, but no. And so as a result, yeah, there's a lot of fodder. And one of the reasons I don't delete a lot of it is because somebody is taking it all down. It's being stored somewhere. Because I've had a history of recording myself, being recorded, having to watch mistakes or painful childhood memories over and over and over again, while your supposed loving family laughs at them. Yeah, I got a lot of experience in this being recorded thing. And I also recognize that, yeah, you get online, yeah, everything's getting grabbed. Somebody is storing everything somewhere. And I don't think a lot of you guys got told that. I am sorry. That is the case. Again, I say, when people aren't communicating with each other, these terrible things happen. And people who love my show, well, the like button, and it's on almost all the websites there are. Some are thumbs up and thumbs down, but overall, you got some form of the like button. And that takes away your natural inclination to say something positive and not generalize positivity or just positive discussion, refreshing discussion. That takes that away. So what has happened with a lot of you who may feel guilty for not supporting me, that comes from the inaction of the good. So it seems like, well, everybody's turning into a horror story with what they're doing, but I swear that like button is one of the biggest culprits, because that's the only positivity that you feel you have been offered. Then when somebody does want to make a comment, it's usually negative, and then everybody gets negative and negative and negative, and it just starts to spoil the whole soup. But ultimately, the inaction of the good just creates more bad. And a like button does not bring the balance back into place. So that's why I'm trying to say, let's get our correspondence skills back. And quite a few pen pal profiles, people I'm not even writing to because we don't have the same interests, why bother? They're just wiping out on social media. Some of them just call it technology. Because maybe their English isn't so good, or maybe they just are trying to get back to where they were however many years before it disturbed their lives. And I applaud that. And there is a more surgence of, rather than pointing fingers, let's look at our other options, what we would prefer doing, and helping each other, and we are all in this together. Which I also feel is another thing that the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows is all about. We are all in this together. Because there's so many different communities merging into one series. So, any pen pals that are still with me, thank you so much. I got a card from somebody telling me thank you for being a friend, and thank you for generously sharing the Pit series with me. Generously. And she was so grateful. And I was so grateful to have the card that she wrote that in. Because that's how I've been feeling the opposite of everybody's kicking me around and I'm their entertainer. How did anyone think that was going to help? And also, I was having dinner with my husband, and I said, yeah, I've gotten so many messages, whether it was private messages on social media or emails. I don't know this person from Adam or Eve, and they are telling me what to do, what I'm doing wrong. Would you like to introduce yourself first? Couldn't believe it. And then people like Autumn and Melissa, they come forward, good manners, and I almost don't recognize them. I've been trying to keep some of my own, but just being surrounded by the intense rudeness. People just, they're suddenly palling around with you like you've met and you've known each other for 10 years. I don't know you guys. And a lot of you won't even admit that you've been enjoying what I've been doing for a while. Overall, it's severely rude. Both the actions and the pretense of familiarity, where there is none, no getting to know each other, And also the inaction of those good manners. And then getting people coming and complaining to me, telling me what to do when I'm, you know, hardest work of my life and I'm paying through the nose for it. So yeah, you do that to somebody for 4 years, you're going to get the monster I became. Like I said back in May of 2017. And also the bizarre way I was approached for the May 2016 podcast. I had a ton of people, one person even face to face, and they just start talking about, oh, those people. They don't address that they listened to the May 2016 update. They're not addressing, they're just starting to burble all this stuff at me. Well, the brains are not working too well, are they? If you can't even address, I heard this, this is what I'm talking about, wanted to tell you about it, tell you how I feel about it. No, they just start burbling. All these people just start coming up to me, burbling all over the place, everywhere. Emails and private messages here, there, and everywhere, and telephone calls. And one person face-to-face. Couldn't believe it. And another person face-to-face was just all kinds of quiet with me. You know, didn't bring up the subject, but yeah. You address what you're thinking about and approach the person calmly and rationally. And so many of the conversations, all a lot of you people thinking you were trying to be helpful, you were not being helpful at all. You made matters worse reaching out to me with that for May 2016. I mean, because when you think about it, yeah, I had all that stuff going on in my head. Not only that, you're hearing it like I'm talking to you, person to person. I mean, you're not digesting the fact that I had to edit that and noise clean it and get it prepared. I had to do all the technical work for that. I was making a statement. You know, I started it with, I don't know why I'm doing this, but it was important. And it meant a lot to Melissa. She addressed it. She let me know. So, and that's how bad everything's gotten. Although some of us are living our own lives. So I'm waiting for somebody to approach me about that podcast, May 2016, and say, yeah, I heard that. And I thought, oh dear, well, not yet. She got a point. And I guess Melissa did, but I mean, there was more that Melissa had said. But I wanted to give you something for December, because 17, like I said, in the Julia Barnabas November podcast, for this one, for December, the 17, episode 17, a bioexorcist comes to Collinwood, is going through Grassroots. In fact, Helena, obviously on Grassroots, she caught a big blooper, big mistake that I had to fix before I got this cold. And I managed to do that. It was very slight, and thankfully it did not take too much time. Just a matter of one of the lines being inappropriate because it wasn't correct for who was related to who. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I actually went to the script. I'm all, oh, I wrote it too. But I was just trying to get everything squared away so quickly. And so much is in episode 17. But it was good. And I sent people an email about, hey, you know, it's going to be this or the other. Or maybe you haven't gotten it yet. Because Grassroots, everybody does things a little bit differently. Only one person in the Grassroots team right now has given me their feedback for the whole thing. Because she got the whole thing. But yeah, that takes time. Takes a whole lot more time than what we all thought the internet would help us do. Also, 18, Braving the Waters. That has got about just over 5,000 words. Some of those are notes from Oshin, me and her talking back and forth, just because they go in there, just so that I have the pieces that I need. And then 19, I believe I actually finally have a title for, and in one scene at least in my head, which that is good news. I was asking Helena about the various titles that I had in mind. And Helena was really good at getting back to me about some of the ideas I had. I was saying, I'm not sure if it should be Happy Hour in Hell, Happy Hour in Hades. And she's all, how about Happy Hour with Diablos? Because, you know, that would come up. Different reasons for Angelique to go down and tattle on Nicholas or wind up there or whatever. But I'm leaning back towards Happy Hour in Hell. Something about it reminds me a little bit of my auntie's shows, one of her titles. So I'm leaning back into that. So we're moving. We are on the road, but everything's going slow because it's a human base. And I know a lot of you still scrolling and like clicking your lives away, and maybe someday you'll find this. But yeah, I wanted to definitely do a kind of study buddy podcast because there's a lot of stuff I am getting back into the swing of. So yeah, I'm back in the saddle, or at least getting there. Maybe my foot's in the stirrup. I'm going to try and talk about all the shows and how I'm blending them together here. Because what we got for... we'll go through it one by one. Dark Shadows. Let's see. I found
a marvelous thing that I didn't know I had that Lisa reminded me in the scrapbook memories, my scrapbook memories of Dark Shadows by Kathleen Lee Scott. There is a 23-page summary. It is not perfect, but it's damn well near perfect. And I've been telling various pen pals about it. I would really like you to find this or check it out or let me get you a copy. Because if you don't know Dark Shadows, this is perfect. And it's funny because it starts on page 121, the summary itself, mostly it's pictures before that. And you get to about, 10 pages in, 130, 131, and right about there is where I'm just gate crashing to high heaven. The pit is just, everybody's coming in, everybody's showing up. And I did not do it in perfect order, because I was working on memory only. But it makes a lot of sense still. I've been wanting to make some photocopies of this and then start writing notes of who's coming in at what angle, and it's all kind of weird, wacky, and Wadsworth Slammer, da-da-da-da, here comes everybody. And so, yeah, there are things along the lines now. I had Peter and Victoria get married and leave earlier to get them out of the way. Adam's stuff is solved before Nicholas Blair even shows up, so it's marvelous looking through some of these pages and thinking, okay, I addressed that. Maybe not at the time that it had come about in Dark Shadows, but it was in there. A lot of things were getting nipped in the bud and cut off at the pass. That's why I keep trying to tell people, when you solve problems, you got more time on your hands. And then we can explore a bit more what happiness means. So, as I'm going through this, I'm seeing, okay, yeah, I've hit that, and snip this or that out, getting across to Cassandra very quickly coming and going, and Nicholas Blair showing up to try to help her, and then moving along more. I'm not too worried about Nicholas Blair potentially falling in love with Maggie, because Maggie already knows who she is by now. Then the other thing is, Barnabas was going to the past to save Victoria, but now he doesn't have to anymore for the pit, because they're off and gone. They're at the Adams family's house, so just... But it's still good to have it at about this time, because there's more coming up with Peter and Victoria. Victoria especially, with the Adams family, going through what you heard about in episode 15 of the pit. So it's good to have her there. And I do like a couple of the actresses when Alexandra Mulcahy had to leave, because, you know, she was showing more and more. She was with child, and they had people replace her, and I thought they did pretty good. They got to fill in for a little while. One of them, especially the voice, I would turn away from the screen. I'd be like, wow, is that? No, it's not her. Okay, whatever. So we got Chris Jennings coming into play, and a series of terrible deaths follow, and it's like, oh gosh, how many do I have to go through? Because we got a Mr. Wells, okay, save him. Madam Finley, save her. Me and O'Shane have come up with some marvelous ideas of how that's going to go down. There's this other thing coming up for 18 that I like, because we don't know exactly what happened to Bathia Mapes in the 1790s, but Endora's going to clear that up. It's going to be a better outcome for Bathia Mapes, if anybody's concerned about Bathia Mapes. So even retroactively, we can kind of save Bathia Mapes too. So pretty good. And as we're going along, so then we're getting into the turn of the screw portion of Dark Shadows, adding the werewolf in there. Now, the werewolf with Chris Jennings and all that, not so much old classic book, more old classic monster movie, horror movie, thriller movie, spooky movie. That's kind of getting tossed in there. So it's a mixture of both. And then we get to page 133. And that is about the time that 1897 comes. No, I'm looking forward to that. And there's also, like I said, the stuff with Sabrina, Chris Jennings' girlfriend, and just trying to nip that out. Help square her away, too. Because I had those ideas a long time ago where she... Dr. Hoffman, use the darn medallion. Don't get out the little black bag. So, you know, then hopefully just sort of get her to come clean. And then, of course, she's not going to be happy with that brother always groping her. She'll probably snap out of that and go, leave me alone. And, you know, we can get her some hair dye too, unless she likes the white. Maybe she'd like the white at that point. I don't know. But, you know, you're in a wacky place, Collinsport.
So then, at some point, getting 1897. Oh, yeah, I know. Some of you voted. I got about 4 votes. And I'll always wait for more votes. Maybe using the Time Warp song instead of the I Ching wands. I don't know, maybe it would be more like that. And the Time Warp song. You know the guy at the desk in Rocky Horror? Oh, that is Professor Stokes, obviously. And then other characters. I mean, it would just... I know the song more. I need to look at the visuals again and try to pick out who would be who and how to sing it and that kind of thing. So, yeah. And then heaven knows. But we'll worry about that first before going back to 1897. And then also dealing in 19 with what's going on in Diablos's cafe, Chinese restaurant, whatever the heck that place is. Because, I mean, yeah, we're looking at that again. There's some of you might see on the blog. You know, I've got the Diablos Cafe, because it really, you look at it, and it was funny because I thought he was standing. Diablos has got that desk or whatever, the round thing, and I guess they were trying to go for the Judgment Man or whatever, because I guess he's sitting, but I didn't look at it like he was sitting. I mean, it looked like he was standing, like he was going to start serving drinks. And it's funny because it's like, what's behind him? Like a cork board that was just sitting around the sets that they threw in behind him? Oh, that's probably the chair back. He probably is sitting down. But to me, he's done. Standing, waiting to serve drinks in hell. Oh, yeah, Cafe Diablos, here we come. Discussing the potential of that with various pen pals. Because the pen pals going through the pit, they give me all kinds of, oh, yeah, do that, or maybe this, or... There's some very eager listeners now, like, oh, is that coming up? Yeah, I can't wait. So that is about all for Dark Shadows. Now we got The Ghost of Mrs. Muir. During this cold, oh, I needed to watch The Ghost of Mrs. Muir anyway, but somebody put a good playlist and I just marathoned it for a week in bed. And I was like, oh, I'm so grateful for this playlist being put together and... Because I was going to get the DVDs out, and I'm like, I'm too sick. I'll just play it on YouTube. So with Ghost of Mrs. Muir... Oh, and one thing that was just killing me, as I'm, you know, tossing and turning, coughing and blowing, feeling like crap, Captain Gregg's hair kept changing. Have you guys noticed that? Because in episode 10, Maggie refers to him as sort of blonde. So I was thinking, you know, maybe a dark, sandy blonde. And then, next thing I know, I'm like, what is that, chocolate? Like, what is it? What'd you do to Edward Mulhare's hair? Like, just kind of like, like, every other episode, it's a different color. Like, a different shade of something. And maybe I'll ask Ghost of Mrs. Muir fans about that. Or if you hear this, you could just get in touch and just say, well, it was this. So now I'm like, oh, maybe it's golden brown. I don't know. But going through it, I know that I have to size it up with that part of Dark Shadows. So we're at the end in Dark Shadows of 1968 and trying to get everything to blend sort of in the same time period. So for me right now, 1 through 11, the episodes Ghost of Mrs. Muir, 1 through 11, which brings up to Captain Gregg's whizbang in the pit, because Mrs. Muir has already mentioned in an episode, what about that little liberty you took with rewriting one of my stories? And that is from episode 11 of The Ghost of Mrs. Muir, Captain Gregg's whizbang. And that's how I was like, okay, I'm there. That is also late 1968. So it's not going to be perfect, but I'm doing the best I can. If I just go with what's happening between Ghost of Mrs. Muir, episodes 1 through 11, I'll be fine for a while. And then what I want to do, what I plan to do, is have various things from those Ghost of Mrs. Muir episodes be mentioned as we go along. I'm really looking forward to Chowderhead. I think some of you Ghost of Mrs. Muir fans know that Chowderhead is one of my most favorite episodes of the Ghost of Mrs. Muir. Because he's so... Oh, where is it? Oh, it's 19. It's going to be forever. I can't wait to have him complain about that to Sam. Just... Oh my gosh, just like, because some crazy stuff will be going on in Collinsport, of course, and then he'll just be like, Andre, try having your face on a can of clam chowder. You think you got it bad? try pulling a can of clam chowder out of the grocery bag and seeing your face on it. Well, that'll be a while. Oh, February 69, okay. But still, could bring it in, whenever. Lots of stuff going on. And, yeah, Dear Delusion, you could probably be like, well, I've gotten forgotten about. I might as well help you guys. all that kind of stuff. That's Ghost of Mrs. Muir. That's where we're headed toward. And then they, I guess they wrap up March 1970. So, well, hopefully that'll be good to just go down the line bit by bit. Some of that stuff, too. It's so funny because they're going into stores. I can't remember what season it was, but I mean, they're going into stores, the kids, Jonathan and Candy, and just casually talking about, I guess that would be second season, because Candy's talking about it, but just talking about the ghost of Captain Gray casually in a store with Claymore. And I'm going, did you, you know, I wonder what the shopkeeper's thinking, you know? Or another thing, there was one where, with the parasol, Jonathan is looking for a gift for his mother. Captain Gray goes with him, and he's picking boots up off of the counter. And I'm like, is a shopkeeper standing there wondering why these boots are just floating around? Because they already had the scene outside the shop where Jonathan's talking to Captain Gray. He's sitting in a rocking chair. And somebody goes past and is like, you know, all weirded out. So why not in the shop? Maybe shops in Schooner Bay, for whatever reason, are just completely impervious to discussion or moving objects. The shopkeepers just don't see it. They really do believe that the town is that boring that things like that don't matter. I don't know. That's about what we got for Ghost of Mrs. Muir and Adam's Family. Since we're in 1968, we are 4 years ahead for them from when they originally started. They ended in 1966. I am not going to worry at all about the reunion special. However, I did get the Addams Family and Evolution, which is a great book if you want original Charles Addams drawings and information. Some of it put together for the television show. Highly recommend it. Great book. And yeah, it's expensive as they come, but I mean, it's a picture book for the most part. It's pricey like that. And one of the reviewers on YouTube, I was really grateful because he pointed out that with the films from the 1990s, where the Addams Family, Wednesday is a very different character. Whereas both on the television show and in the comics, she's a quite happy little girl and is smiling. And I was like, okay, so I can shoot for that. Trying to figure out their ages has been difficult, but not doing too bad for the Addams Family. I have to get used to them. And so I've already got another part in 18 planned for the Addams Family. I think everybody's in there, actually. Pugsley, Wednesday, Grandmama, Fester, Gomez, Morticia. Not everybody's going to have a ton of lines, but I think everybody's got at least one or two. And Peter and Victoria, of course, who were not originally on the Addams Family. Most of us know that. But they are the guests. And I definitely pull quite a bit from The Addams Family Meets a Beatnik in 1965. And his name was Rocky. The Beatnik's name on The Addams Family was Rocky. We even had a birthday party for him. Played by Tom Lowell, who was also in That Darn Cat. I liked him a lot in that. He played a neat, different character in that episode. It was quite wonderful. I think that's one of my favorites as well for the Addams Family. The Addams Family Meets Beatnik. And they made him kind of Norm at the end. Just, you know, it's that same weird appeasement like what they were doing with Lydia at the end of Beetlejuice. Make her look kind of Norm. But we know, I mean, she's living with ghosts. Why does she have to look normal? It's just silly. That has been an appeasement over the years, just to the status quo thing. But to me, when you think about Lydia Dietz and you think about the Beatnik and the Addams Family Meets a Beatnik, you know, they don't have to change. We can imagine that they didn't really change that much. But the point of it for me was seeing how somebody who's a little bit different blends in so well with the Addams Family after they get over the initial shock. Overall, there's a lot of great stuff that I'm going through with the Addams Family as far as watching and imbibing and getting to know their 1960s personas. All of this stuff just needs to be known, and it would be great craft table talk or tea time talk with Victoria. I've already got fun plans with Peter and Gomez, because Peter needs some help, we all know that. just get him used to stuff. In fact, I was watching Dark Shadows, and there he is opening his own coffin, and Roger is like, what are you doing? Or whatever. Oh, can a man open his own coffin? And I'm thinking, oh, that would be a great conversation to have with Gomez. And there was nothing in it. Gomez would be like, well, isn't that just something? So that could have happened earlier in the pit that we just didn't see it, even though it happens later in Dark Shadows, but it could have happened earlier because I scooted them out. And I also noticed in Dark Shadows that around a certain time, it was Professor Stokes helping Jeff with a potion to remember who he was as Peter, and that flung him back in the... And so I figure, oh, well, good, because Mrs. Johnson in the pit tells Sophia Petrillo that Doctor, who was pretending to be a historian, she goes around hypnotizing people right and left. Well, she kind of accidentally did something for this young man, and everything worked out. Just have, again, you know, the medallion could come in for some good purposes, not messing with people's heads to do things they shouldn't do, or not remember things they need to for, you know, personal growth. And so, yeah, there we go. With the monsters, moving on. 64 to 66, tons of notes of that. In fact, my notes have been so extensive that I have actually made pastimes for both families, what they're doing in either show. And also recipes. It's fascinating because the Addams Family is a lot more lethal or what you would consider not edible foods and recipes. And for the monsters, it's a mixture of the two. One day they'll have oatmeal, another day they'll have something wacky, you know, like spider cookies or something. It goes back and forth with the monsters, but with the Addams Family, it is pretty strict, weird diet. And so, yeah, they're just a lot of experiences, and I was watching, again, I've seen them before, the biographies about the cast, what they were going for. So there's a lot of stuff in the Munsters that can be upsetting and unsettling, but a great deal of that, you know, just the characters being dumb, part of that was Fred Gwynn and Al Lewis wanting to work things out as a slapstick type of thing, or as, well, this will come across as funny because it's so dumb. And also just going back to almost vaudevillian techniques. So when we get upset for what Herman and Grandpa are stupidly doing, that was on purpose, a lot of it, for the entertainment technique. It's really helpful to go through that. And yeah, there was a lot of people, when I was going through these biographies, a lot of drinking problems that tore up families, or people would end in divorce or whatever. And I'm thinking, wow, yeah, we need stuff like this for social media and what it's doing to people now. Oh my gosh, that stuff's addictive. It's not doing a whole lot of good for a lot of us. And of course, I see the same thing. Well, you know, I just drink socially. And it's like, well, yeah, and then you're also, I mean, I've seen over the years, well, I only use Facebook for this, and then this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And it's like, well, you know, you could do that with other tools. We were doing that before this thing took over. Coming up with reasons. And that's why I always, when I've had problems like this, I work it out and try to be open about it. And then I got all these people picking on me. Is this the progression? Really? Is this the progression? Like I said in May, we have a much worse problem to work out, and I'm working mine out with the social media addiction. I feel so much better not touching it. So you just go back to the past. The patterns repeat themselves. People have problems. Substance problems. Now we got a whole new one with what a lot of these programmers are able to do with our minds. Quite a few of those people, they're mad scientists. They know how the brain works. We were not warned, like with other substances. And this, of course, I'm not sure it could be deemed a substance, but it's working on our brains like one, and it has for years. So you go back to some of these biographies of these people working out their, or not working out their, alcohol problems, as the case may be, see the same kind of devastation. Or gambling, too. Gambling's not really a substance either, but it does things to people. It tears families apart. There you go. Good example of that. We've gone through a lot of this before, it's just now there's a new way of tempting us. Now let's go to Bewitched. There's actually a big reason that Dick York couldn't keep the role. I mean, he had a very severe injury. And I was on the phone with my auntie, and she's like, well, why didn't they do something where maybe a spell had happened, and that's why he changed the role? Because it was quick. Because Dick York was in a lot of pain. And initially, they wanted Dick Sargent. He wasn't available, so they hired Dick York. that is something that is really important to look into. My auntie did not know. I said, no, he was in a lot of pain. Dick York, he was in a lot of pain for a injury. And that was why in some of the later episodes with him, you don't see him move. He's sitting or on laying down on the couch, whatever. That was all they could do. The real people behind the scenes, they got real lives and real problems. With that, that's just been intensive. I've talked about it before, where it's not as much witchy things that I need to know. And I'm really happy with what I've got so far for Samantha and Andorra for episode 18. Just have to try and square away who's available, who's there, what they've gone through. Because for a while in 1967 and 68, season 4, Samantha has the role of queen. I'm trying to think of whatever I could possibly work that in there. I might have done already in the notes. So, get to where we need them. And it looks like it's mostly going to be Andorra helping out rather than everyone else. I'm sure we'll have more in there. I do see, for sure, Darren Stevens and Roger Collins having a drink together, because they're going to talk about some stuff. I mean, they're both rather the basic guy just caught up in all the malarkey going on, and I think they'd have a lot of great stuff to discuss together. And they both do like to have drink. That is, I guess, about it. I wanted to just show you how I was, obviously, getting over this cold. I mean, I do wish I had 10 scripts right in front of me. I wish I could say that I did, but you know, I'm just getting everything back on. Very thankful for pen pals, and also just as I've moved away from the social media, somebody was trying to get my attention on Tumblr. When was it? Yeah, I mean, it was really weird. I say that now, but I mean, when I was in the thick of it, it makes a lot of sense. Thick of the online drama and all the garbage and all that stuff was doing to my brain. As well as fandom politics crap that just got totally out of hand. Because, like I said in the previous podcast, if the stories sated the people for those non-canon pairings, there would not need to be all of this discussion of I wish, I wish, I wish. You go, you find the stories. I've been telling a lot of people this. There are gobs of stories, so much that it blows my mind for the non-canon pairings. If they don't satisfy you, maybe it's because you're thinking about something that doesn't satisfy you or something that you don't find convincing about it. But there are other people. Somebody was great, wrote on the blog that satisfies her and that she was curious about Professor Stokes and Hoffman getting together. She was for it even though she didn't find it satisfying herself. So that was good. But yeah, there are gobs of these stories. I mean, there is a community on fanfiction.net with gobs of Maggie Willie stories. Gobs of them. Gobs and gobs and gobs. So if that is somehow not good enough, I really don't know what to tell you. Because don't come to me, because I've already expressed who's getting together with who and why it makes sense and all that and who I'm looking for and that kind of thing. But the stories are there. There are tons and tons of them. And thankfully, a couple people did get back to me about Joe March and Lori from Little Women. And one person said, yeah, you know, my mother doesn't even do much reading, but even she was annoyed at that. And I was like, okay. And another pen pal was like, yeah, I couldn't figure that out. I got it recently from somebody. She's like, yeah, I really had trouble with that, too. It didn't quite seem like that would be her choice. But then I saw the other guy and I saw what was going on. And I'm like, okay, thank you. Because I've needed to talk about the Joe March thing. Because this is as close as I get. But here I am. What I'm putting together from the beginning is asking every character, well, what do you want? Go down the line. What do you want? Or what's going to make you happy? What do you need? Not everybody can have Barnabas Collins, but there are other people who care for you. So let's work that out. And it's almost everybody. It's the best I can do for a relief series. Quite a number of people said, yeah, I don't know who could have done better. And I appreciate that a lot. Pen pals are getting me through stuff. So if you ran away screaming, I'm still here. I didn't mean to scare you. Bad things happen. But a lot of us, we're in this together. We've all seen all these terrible things happen. The reason I was able to get so much accomplished is that as the social media and smartphone takeover was happening, I was not a part of it. I was focusing on the LibriVox books. I was still working in vision therapy. I was building the pit slowly. I was reading a lot of books to myself and in audio. I was living my life, and a flip phone was good enough for me. Phone calls and letters were still good enough for me. Email was still good enough for me. I really didn't touch social media or smartphones at all, and it makes a lot of sense that I would be so shocked that there was so little discussion, and through these years I've discovered why. But I wasn't spending time being part of the social media or smartphone takeover. I was living my life. I was focusing on trying to find a way out of the anhedonia. It had been bothering me for years. I didn't have a name for it either. I was like, what is this, double depression? What is this? I mean, you can't feel your feelings. You can behave and have your feelings, but you can't feel them. So that makes music very unenjoyable. It makes a lot of things incredibly unenjoyable. And that's why I don't mind talking about the alcoholism, because if I didn't drink that back then, it would have been cyanide. And I'm not kidding. And at this point, too, that's been less and less and less. It's been tapering off, thankfully. And I'm going back to some of the more healthy foods and going to try and get back into exercising. This cold's put me out. But then again, I was enjoying myself with friends in an area where there were a whole lot of people, so there was a whole lot of germs. The whole place was kind of an incubator where we were at the time. And I got to Monday. Oh, that's right. I was going to go check this out. Yeah, I got some email from Tumblr on the 27th after a day of really hard work trying to get some of the technical equipment here fixed. And, you know, that took a lot out of us. And then the previous day had been the big fun. Then I get the cold on Monday. But between that time, I get something from Tumblr of a rant I sent somebody in 2015. If it wasn't that, it was 2016, but from what I could configure, it was sent to this person that I don't know, and it was a bad year for me. We were all going through hell, and a lot of people still are, and it just seemed this way to get attention, because it's like, yeah, I was outraged, I was going through all of this terrible stuff, I was just all over the place. I had my loved ones ripped away from me by these inventions, a lot of them. And on top of that, I'm putting out the hardest work of my life, great entertainment. People do not know how to talk anymore. They don't know how to correspond anymore. I am stuck. And all I am seeing and listening to are these complaints about the non-canon pairings and how dissatisfying it is for people who like them and don't like them. So I get that after a really hard day of working stuff out. Me and Clover were trying to get technical equipment fixed, and we had not gotten it done, but it was a whole day of vacuuming and going through a lot of electronic parts really carefully. And so then, yeah, I saw that. I'm like, okay, this, I'll go and I'll look, but I don't want to be on Tumblr anymore because it's PCP. It was really old, at least 1 year, if not 2 years old. So I called my mom and I was telling her about it, and we were just like, good God, you know, what's happening to everybody? But what I could identify was somebody finding something old because they just don't have anybody to talk to. And that's a lot of what this technology is doing. People don't know the art of conversation anymore. And they can't have it on a one-to-one basis, so they go to places like Facebook or Tumblr and then just let loose or find something to respond to that is 2 years old and get snarky about it because they don't know any other way to be. So, at least I had my mom to chit-chat with about it after a long day of working. And somebody else did see it and got in touch with me and said, it really sounds like whatever was going on was responded to way after the fact. And I said, as far as I can see, it was 2 years after the fact. And a pen pal, actually, I told her about it and I just got her letter. And she said, wow, 2 years to respond? And they call this snail mail? Which I really appreciated. But yeah. That's what a lot of this tech has been doing to people. It seems like nobody knows how to function anymore because the snark has been eating itself. You can't keep making fun of everything and think it's going to help your social life. A lot of humanity exists because we are sentimental to the younger generation. You have to be. They haven't got everything squared away yet. I remember when I was helping to raise my cousins, I would say something and one of my cousins would ask me, are you being sarcastic? Because he wasn't sure how it sounded yet. He needed to know. He was learning about sarcasm. It was a good question to ask. They asked the greatest questions. And that was something that their mother had told me, yeah, that I allow them to ask questions. And I try to be as honest as I can with my children. Okay, I can do that. And it went from me babysitting and helping to raise them to also being friends and trying to be the best that I could. There was that aspect. But a lot of these people who've been growing up on things like Tumblr or things like Facebook, I mean, it is just, it's a mind zap city. Really has not given them. I mean, that's why we're hearing about people taking their parents to work interviews. I mean, can you imagine? You try telling somebody in 1975 that, or somebody in 1985, they wouldn't believe you. They would not believe you. You know, you might see that maybe in very olden days, somebody wanting to be a farmhand and bringing his dad to vouch for him, 1800s or something. I could see it then, because there's not that many people floating around to get references from. And people would start work a little younger, depending. That I could see. But 1980s, that would not have been something you would have done. And the reason that it's happening, as far as I can see, is because a lot of these kids who are now in their 20s have not been given the person-to-person contact that is required for a work interview. It's scary. So, with all these little tools to shelter our children, we've made very helpless adults out of them, and they're looking around at all this stuff, and just snark is the way. Snark is the way to be popular. Well, that's not going to work when you're away from the computer screen. You're not going to go to a restaurant and start making fun of the people who are working there, because you know better. They're going to spit in your food. Jeez. Or just tell you to leave straight up. That's not going to work. And when people have done that in the past, a lot of the servers understand this person is just this way. They must have no one in their life. Or they got Tourette's or something. If they're going to deal with that, but then they vent to the better customers. Like, oh, and then you got somebody that everybody knows, avoid this person. And that's real life, real world, physical world, face-to-face. But yeah, you know, and then one of the comments to me that night was, sober up, and I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm doing. Because I'm getting myself out of the crack cocaine of Facebook and the PCP of Tumblr. It's this new way of sobering up. And that is why you're not hearing me chattering my teeth on the edge of my seat now. I'm going to keep going the best that I can. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. And happy holidays. You know about that? Happy holidays? Happy holidays. We heard it at the end of one of the first year Dark Shadows episodes. Actually, quite a few of them. Yeah, 1966. This is not a new thing, happy holidays. It is not new. So I wish it to you. Because, well, you got, you know, especially in the United States, you got Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, very close together. When I heard Happy Holidays, I figured that's what they're talking about. They don't want to go through everything. Or, you know, then all the other ones, all the different versions of Christmas. And I was saying to the craft gathering, I'm like, what about solstice? What about a winter solstice? So, yeah, wish Angelica Merry Solstice, for heaven's sake. She sure needs one. I think that's about it. Hope you enjoyed my rant. Hope it made you feel better. Maybe it put you to sleep. Maybe you need some sleep. Turn those devices off. Turn those pings off. You don't need them. You need a nice, pleasant dream. Because heaven knows what tomorrow will bring. Take care.